Good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Today we'll be talking about nurse staffing levels and quality of patient care in New Mexico hospitals. Recently, the Hospital Workers Union in Santa Fe voted to accept a contract with Christus St. Vincent Regional Medical Center. This after voting twice to set a date for a strike. One of the main issues in the negotiations was the question of how many patients a nurse should be responsible for at one time. Different hospitals have different systems for determining nurse staffing levels. There are standards supported by various nurse and hospital associations, and states have used various methods for legislating nurse staffing levels. Fonda Osborne is the president of the New Mexico chapter of 1199, the Hospital Workers Union. She just recently retired after working for over three decades as a nurse. How many of those years were in New Mexico, Fonda?
Oh, gee, I started working as a nurse in 1982, so quite a few years.
Great, great. And we're also joined this morning by phone by Nancy Donaldson. She is Professor Emeritus of Clinical Nursing at the University of California at San Francisco. She is the Director of the Stanford Center for Nursing and Research Innovation and also Chair of the Board of Directors for the Collaborative Alliance for Nursing Outcomes. Good morning, Nancy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
We'll be taking your calls this morning. What have you experienced in New Mexico hospitals? Were you a patient? Have you had a family member hospitalized? Are you a worker in New Mexico hospitals? Are you a New Mexico hospital executive? You can call 277-KUNM. That's 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. Or you can send us an email to callinshow@kunm.org. It seems obvious that the number of nurses working in a hospital at any one given time could potentially affect the quality of patient care there. Fonda, how do nurses know when they have the right number of patients, not too many, not too few?
Well, that changes day by day. But I think that there is a basic floor, a basic level of nurses that you have to be able to provide to give good, safe patient care.
So what are some of the things that, as a nurse, that you would think of during your shift that would make you feel like, oh, this is working just right, or, oh, I'm feeling a little like I'm not able to give these patients as much care as I would like to?
Well, the main thing is that you have enough time to spend with your patients. In that period of time, you're able to assess the patient and get to develop a plan of care. And if you think about it, if you have like 8 patients that you're taking care of, that's less than 8 minutes an hour that you can spend with that patient, developing their care, doing their charting, and all the other requirements that you have to do. That's not very much per patient. So ideally, if you have fewer patients, you're going to be able to spend more time. And as a nurse, that was the most important thing to me, is that I actually got to spend time and know my patient.
You know, I invited representatives from the University of New Mexico Hospital and Christus St. Vincent Regional Medical Center to join us. Both of those organizations declined to participate in the show this morning. I also invited representatives from Loveless and Presbyterian to join us. Their chief nursing executives were unavailable at this time today. I also asked these hospitals to provide a written statement in lieu of a representative on the show. We did get a statement from Presbyterian, and I'll be sharing some of that statement shortly. Nancy, as a researcher, how do you measure this thing, quality of patient care? I mean, it seems obvious, but then when it comes down to actually deciding is the quality good or not, how do you measure that as a researcher?
Well, in 1995, the American Nurses Association identified nursing's first sort of acute care quality indicators, and they included measures of structure, such as hours of care, and the mix of staff providing care. They included processes, and they included outcomes. Some of the outcomes included things like the number of falls per 1,000 patient days, the prevalence of pressure ulcers, etc.
And pressure ulcers are is that the same as bed sores?
Mm-hmm. And they happen usually due to a combination of patient characteristics and risk for these special kinds of skin wounds due to the pressure of staying in one position, perhaps with moisture on the bed, and they're usually handled particularly well by nurses who ensure that the patient is repositioned periodically and regularly, that the patient's surface that they're resting on is appropriate, so sometimes a special bed is needed, that the sheets are clean and dry, and that any treatment is received that would optimize the skin integrity, including good nutrition. So the safety of the patient, preventing falls in high-risk patients, the safety of the patient, preventing pressure ulcers in any patient that really is in bed for an extended period of time, these are all considered measures of patient care quality that are particularly sensitive to nursing. Sensitive meaning to the hours of care, to the expertise of the nurse, and to the content of the nurse's assessment, as Jana mentioned, and their interventions to prevent these injuries. So these are some of the quality metrics that have been used in nursing quality report cards or registries by the CalNOT group that I've been involved with since 1996, the National Database for Nursing Quality, sponsored by the American Nurses Association since 1997-98. And so these are some of the ways that we have examined patient care for the adequacy of nurse staffing.
So, Fonda, there are different levels of certification for hospital workers, RNs, nurse aides. Can you explain a little bit about who might be responsible for some of those different tasks in providing care for a patient? How does it break down? I guess sometimes, not all the time, but give us an idea of what a day might look like working with one patient and how you might have to return to that patient to do various things throughout the day.
First of all, in regards to the level of care, the RN is responsible for developing the plan of care for the patient. The RN is responsible for assessing the patient and their needs. And
so, like, what do you measure in an assessment? What do you look at during that assessment?
Oh, gee, everything. I mean, you have to look at the total patient.
Is this like blood pressure, whether they're getting their medication?
Absolutely. You have to assess their skin. You have to assess the patient's mentation.
What is mentation?
Their ability. Cognitive processes, because a lot of times there's problems in that area.
Do they know where they are? Do you know what the date is?
Exactly.
Those are the kinds of things
I
think automatically.
You also have to assess the tubes that they have in them and the medications, and all of this takes time to do. And on top of that, you also have anxious families that you have to deal with. And reassure that their loved one is getting all the care that they're supposed to be getting. And so the nursing assistants, they assist in the care of the patients, and they are very important in the care team. Basically, the responsibility falls upon the nurse to make sure that patient is getting what they need and the doctor's orders are followed and that type of thing.
We're taking your calls this morning on the topic of nurse staffing levels and how they affect quality of patient care in New Mexico hospitals. You can call 277-KUNM, that's 277-5866, or you can call toll-free 877-899-5866, that's 877-899-KUNM. We have Carolyn on the line from Albuquerque. Good morning, Carolyn.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I really had a comment more than anything, and I'd have to say that I very much agree, as a nurse myself of 30 years, with your guest about what it is that registered nurses are expected to do and should be doing in the hospital setting. What I'd have to say I'm extremely disappointed with is the fact that although Your guest really outlined very clearly what it is that registered nurses should be doing. I don't see that happening. What I see happening more frequently than not is nurses being focused on technology, being focused on only one aspect of the patient, and having very little focus on the whole patient and the needs of family members as well.
You said you were a nurse, Carolyn?
I am.
So how do you, are you talking about how your time is being focused in your job, that you're being asked to focus more on technology than on the kind of the larger concept of patient care and that
yes.
holistic approach?
Let me be clear that I'm not practicing nursing on this at this time, but mm-hmm. I've had several family experiences recently of people in serious condition in hospital and also less serious condition, but nonetheless significant. And what I have observed is a real lack of attention to the patient themselves.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for your call, Carolyn. Nancy, what have you found in your research about the way that the work that nurses perform has changed, especially with the advent of new medical technology?
Yeah, I think the point that the caller raised is really important. And I think that Fonda really was beginning the discussion about the demands and challenges facing nursing. But the whole range of human responses to actual potential health problems and the needs of the families are huge, and it would take Fonda and I much longer than we have today to really bring all that to the surface. But I think one thing that's really interesting is the impact of technology and the regulatory imperatives that have been sort of placed in the domain of the nurse's responsibility. Dr. Mary Blagan did an Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality funded conference at UCSF a few years ago, and the purpose was to look at the impact of technology and patient safety imperatives on the role of the nurse. And one of the interesting sort of insights that we got to that is that when any new technology or any new regulatory safety-related requirement comes on, they are passed along to the nurse with certainly some cursory education and orientation, but very often not a full what you might call environmental assessment. Is there the administrative support? Is there the necessary backup technological support, et cetera? And one of the conclusions we came to is that before nurses can take on more of the regulatory technological safety imperatives, that we really need to do this comprehensive assessment, much like we would if we were going to build a building someplace, an environmental assessment, and just ask ourselves, so what are the implications of this for this nursing environment? Because every microsystem where nurses take care of patients, those units where care is delivered, is a little bit different. And the characteristics of the patient, the workers, the medical staff, the ancillaries, the geography and anatomy of the unit varies widely, even within hospitals as well as between. So we really need to have that thoughtful assessment of how all this impacts the ability of the nurse to do that vital nursing role that Fonda and the caller mentioned.
Thanks, Nancy. Fonda, what have you experienced over the decades of work that you have done in the nursing profession? How did you experience the advent of new technology?
Well, I can tell you right now that I do not believe that the computerization of nursing, no matter how important it is, gives nurses more time at the bedside. It takes you away from your patients. A lot of the technology is absolutely wonderful from when I became a new nurse to what we have now and what medicine is able to achieve. I mean, the idea of interrupting a heart attack when somebody's having a heart attack is just amazing compared to when I first became a nurse back in the 70s. Somebody laid on their bed for 10 days and we didn't let them do anything, and we really didn't have an effective treatment in those days. So in that way, to be able to provide nursing care, technology is great. But in the aspect that it does take you away from the patient, that's not good.
Let's take another caller. Sharon in Santa Fe. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi. This is Sharon. You asked before how I know when we are appropriately staffed. And I just wanted to give a little insight in that. When I start my shift, I go and try to look at all my patients right away just to find out who needs what first. And rapidly I learn right away who I need to go focus on, and then I come back and focus on them. If I follow a shift that's been shorted, that number goes up. If I follow two shifts that have been shorted, it's just unbelievable. I will not stop for 4 hours. On a
you mean 4 hours of assessing all the patients that you
yes,
have?
Yes, yeah. I mean, I will not sit down for one moment. I will get encountered by maybe three people with emergencies, a family member, another staff member, the patient themselves. I just get bombarded in the worst-case scenario, three emergencies in one time. When the shift is appropriately staffed, I can comfortably meet the needs of my patients. Meds will be administered on time. Patients will be assisted with whatever they need when they need it. They don't have to wait forever and ever. Fonda mentioned the technology and computer charting. Yes, it does take a lot more time, so that needs to be looked at. However, I can look at all of my patients' vital signs with a few clicks of the mouse, and that helps. So the things that will help us require more staffing, and I so appreciate you highlighting this issue, and we're really working on it in Santa Fe. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for your call, Sharon. I appreciate your call this morning and sharing your insights. Let's go to another caller, Jeannie in Albuquerque. Good morning, Jeannie. What would you like to add to the conversation? Good morning, Jeannie. Are you there? We may have lost Jeannie. Let's try Sam in Placitas. Good morning, Sam.
Hi. I'm a physician, and I've had family members who are patients. From both points of view, I think that hospitals are understaffed with nurses, nurses' aides, and I think that hospitals could do well and do much better with more of both.
Sam, may I ask, you're a physician. Do you work in an environment where you have nurses working with you?
Yes.
So talk to me about how, in your circumstances, how do you know when you have the right number of nurses working with you?
I don't. I've never seen too many.
Never seen too many. Do you feel that you've been able to maintain a good level, or are you in that circumstance where you're saying there aren't enough ever?
There's never enough nurses.
Is that because of limitations on labor costs in the organization where you work, or is that because there's a shortage of nurses who are skilled and available for that work?
Probably both. Hmm. Every hospital I've ever worked at has depended heavily on rent-a-nurse types of arrangements because they can't find enough nurses locally.
Thanks so much for your call, Sam. Nancy, how big of an impact does the availability of trained nurses who are certified to fill positions in hospitals, how much of an effect does that play in nurse staffing levels compared to, say, the decisions that hospitals make based on cost?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. The nursing profession and the manpower equation cyclically sort of vary from shortages that are of great concern to periods of what appears to be an abundance of graduates who aren't finding jobs readily. But the issue is, certainly we need to align supply and demand so that the educational systems in a region produce an appropriate number of qualified candidates to take the licensing exam and to fill those entry-level positions. So clearly that's an issue, and I know in California we've spent a lot of time looking at supply and demand and trying to align the output of our educational institutions with the needs of our hiring enterprises in the hospitals and communities. The other piece I think that's really important is to think about the expertise of the nurse, because there is, if you will, a learning curve, and some say that it takes years for a novice nurse, a new graduate, to have the critical mass of experience that leads to expert practice. And I think you want the right number of nurses, but it's more than that. It's also nurses with the right expertise, meaning experience with these types of patients receiving these types of treatments. And you also want nurses with, the credentials to be successful and effective in their care. And that's one of the glitches, I think, of ratios, is that they're about the headcount, the number of patients per nurse. And they don't really address the qualifications and the characteristics of the nurse. And there's some data, for instance, that suggests that baccalaureate degrees, a certain percentage, are important. That certification in certain specialties may be important. That years of experience may be important.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Nancy Donaldson is Professor Emeritus of Clinical Nursing at the University of California at San Francisco. We're also joined in the studio by Fonda Osborne. She's the president of the New Mexico chapter of 1199, the Hospital Workers Union here in New Mexico. She just recently retired after working for over three decades as a nurse. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. We're talking about nurse staffing levels and how they affect the quality of patient care in hospitals in New Mexico. What have you experienced in New Mexico hospitals? Were you a patient? Have you had a family member hospitalized? Do you work in the hospital environment? And do you have an insight on this topic from your professional perspective? Please give us a call. The number is 277-KUNM. That's 277-5866. Or toll free 877-899-5866. That's 877-899-KUNM. You can also send us an email, callinshow@kunm.org. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. This question, Fonda, of more experienced nurses and nurses who are just entering the workforce and perhaps have less experience, how does that play out as you see it, as you've seen it play out at Christus St. Vincent Regional Medical Center in Santa Fe? And I just want to add really quickly, I invited representatives from the University of New Mexico Hospital and Christus St. Vincent Regional Medical Center to join us this morning. They declined to participate in the show this morning. I also invited Loveless and Presbyterian representatives to join us. Their chief nursing executives were not available this morning. I also asked these hospitals to provide a written statement in lieu of a person on the show. We got a statement from Presbyterian, and we'll be talking about that in just a moment. Fonda, experience level of nurses.
Well, that's very important because when you're a new nurse, you don't know everything. And when you're an old nurse, you don't know everything. And that's why certifications are important. And but I do believe, and I would differ on the ratio issue, because I do believe that there has to be a minimum level of staff available. Now, taking all the other into consideration, such as acuity of your patients and the skill mix, is important. But what we find is we're not even getting the minimum numbers that we feel are necessary to provide that safe patient care. We just recently came through negotiations where we talked about staffing was and our ability to negotiate staffing was a big issue. We had had the ability to negotiate staffing since about before California actually got their legislation through. And what, interestingly enough, a lot of the things that we had negotiated were very similar to California's. Of course, we did look at, you know, the nursing standards in the different areas and that type of thing when we negotiated the staffing. The contentious part of our negotiations was that the hospital had not even been able to provide that floor of staffing, which they had a penalty for.
And this is where the conversation about how much of a financial penalty should Christa St. Vincent pay when the minimum mm-hmm. level under your nursing contract was not achieved was part of the negotiations,
It was all part of it. Now, we'll still be negotiating staffing, but it will be with a committee, and there the penalty is much less. And
well, talk to me about how important it is to have nurses as participants in that decision-making process.
Oh, well, it's critical, because who knows your job better than the nurse who's actually working on the floor, who understands the systems, who understands the time management, that type of thing. That's the nurse who's actually working on the floor.
Let's take a caller. Jim, I believe you're in Los Alamos, maybe Los Lunas?
Los Lunas, yeah.
Los Lunas. Thanks for joining us this morning. How would you like to contribute to the conversation?
Well, I wanted to actually thank the dedicated nurses across the state of New Mexico. Several experiences in the hospital, myself and my family. We have always received excellent care, and I just, you know, these folks are, you know, they have. There's a shortage of people. It wasn't apparent to us, except for maybe the harriedness that they were having to do their jobs, but we never felt as though we had been not treated as we should have been. So I'd say thank you for the nurses across New Mexico.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks so much for your call. Let's go to Glenn in Ponderosa. Good morning, Glenn. You're on the air. How would you like to contribute this morning?
Good morning. I have a comment and a question. The comment is that I agree it is crucial for nurses to be involved in the discussion of staffing levels and determining those levels. And my question is, how are checklists applicable to the nursing environment and to nursing staffs?
Do you mean checklists like as far as assessing?
Well, it sounds like a comprehensive approach is needed in terms of just about every aspect of determining staffing levels for nurses. And one of the aspects is in assessing patients, assessing the environment, and the needs of the individuals involved, both nurses and patients and families. And is there a place for a standardized checklist to be used in some way, shape, or form that would facilitate those kinds of assessments?
Great. Thanks so much for your call, Glenn. I did get an email this morning regarding the American Nurses Association standards for nurse staffing, including patient-related characteristics, including things like the number of patients, communication skills, cultural and linguistic diversities. Those are just a few of the things. Staff-related characteristics for deciding nurse staffing levels, like experience with the population served, tenure on the unit, level of control of practice environment. These are a couple of the things that the American Nurses Association standards for nurse staffing include. Nancy, you know, it seems like there are a broad different, a really wide range of ways to think about how to establish nurse staffing levels at hospitals. How, as a researcher, do you break that down into kind of categories of ways of approaching this issue?
Well, I think a number of ways count, and I don't want to be interpreted as not supportive of the headcount ratio strategy. My point is that I think there's way more to the equation. It's a big equation, and I think that's where your question's going.
But do you think there needs to be a base minimum level, the way that Fonda was saying, like a floor, like there should never be fewer than, you know, one nurse per two patients in the ICU, for example? Is that kind of a floor useful?
I think it depends on the patients in the ICU. I think some of them may need one-to-one, and so I think that there really has to be, and I think the caller sort of nailed it a bit, a systematic way of approaching this that really looks at characteristics of the workforce, characteristics of the environment, and characteristics of the patient population and their needs. And the ANA staffing standards are a wonderful way to approach this. The language captures exquisitely the concepts, I think, that we've been talking about and that the callers have mentioned. So I think that I love the notion of staffing committees at the microsystem level, that the nurses working in a particular environment, as Fonda said, know the environment, they know their team, they know their patients. The other thing that hasn't, I think, been sufficiently mentioned in the staffing equation is what the impact of their care is. Where are we in terms of processes? So how many of the patients are assessed at risk for pressure ulcers or falls? How effective is the prevention in terms of pressure ulcers and falls? And what other outcomes are being measured that are considered nursing-sensitive indicators of patient care quality? And I think these decisions have to be evidence-based so that pretty soon we get to the equation on this floor. And it could be that the ratio is 4 patients per nurse or 5, but in fact this floor for these patients and this staffing equation really need 3 patients per nurse. So that I think that it really, that unit-level engagement with the data, the patient population, and the staff characteristics is really important.
Let's take another caller, Nicole in Santa Fe. Good morning. You're on the air. What would you like to add? Nicole, are you there? All right. Let's go to Glenn in Hemis Springs. Good morning, Glenn. Thanks for calling us.
Yes, thanks so much for this program. I was a hospital chaplain in both Albuquerque and Chicago. I found in my experience that nurses do so very much work, maybe 95% of the work done in our hospitals. I find it just incredible that the hospitals that you mentioned earlier do not have a rep on your program, and even more incredible that Presbyterian is the only one who sent you a statement. How long would it have taken somebody in administration in the other hospitals to shoot off an email, maybe 1 minute, 2 minutes, thanking their nurses for all the work that they do for all of us? That's my comment. Thanks.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks for your comment. Let's go to this statement that was submitted from Presbyterian for this particular show. There's a couple of things that Presbyterian says. For example, that they realize that the nursing workforce is aging, that more are retiring, and that less people are entering the profession. And they say they're engaged in a variety of outreach programs in the community and frequently teaming with local schools and colleges and professional organizations to create more healthcare professionals in New Mexico. That's one of the comments that Presbyterian had. Another is that they participate in some alliances of healthcare organizations to compare their staffing levels to national benchmarks. They say that their nurse staffing for patient care areas exceed national specialty standards like critical care and operating rooms in managing staffing levels. It sounds like they're saying we go beyond what is required by some of these specialty standards. They also say that they are implementing innovative ideas and processes such as an admit and discharge nurse, nurse navigator roles, centralized call light system, and other process improvements to try to improve quality care. They're also working to develop a 5-year plan, or they have developed a 5-year plan focused completely on quality, which includes improving patient safety and reducing mortality. They're participating in a key state and national quality initiative. They're also participating in another program which empowers frontline nurses and staff to redesign their work to achieve better results for patients. This is from the statement from Presbyterian that I received in lieu of participating in the show, where they didn't have anybody available to participate in the show. University of New Mexico Hospital and Christa St. Vincent Regional Medical Center declined to participate or send a statement. And Loveless, they didn't have anybody available, and they did not submit a statement. Nancy, I'm curious about this perspective of hospital organizations that we don't have fully on the show today. Can you talk a little bit about what the research has shown with respect to decisions that hospitals are making and how they're making them with regards to staffing levels?
I think hospitals have been in a very difficult situation, with the caveat that I'm not familiar with the financial and quality performance of the hospitals in New Mexico. I know best the nearly 300 hospitals that participate in our collaborative alliance. I think it's fair to say that hospitals are really under a lot of pressure. They're in an environment that's very rugged financially, trying to make a margin that allows them to continue to operate with their reimbursement as a moving target, and a great many fixed and other costs that they're trying to manage. That said, I think that hospitals are also, for the first time, we're getting sort of an alignment of the incentives for reimbursement that really benefits nursing in many ways, so that hospitals now, for instance, are incentivized to improve their falls and pressure ulcers. These are among some of the care management adverse events, at least in California, that are being reported to the State Department of Health, that are being publicly reported. There's a great deal of federal through CMS, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, looking at the quality of care and particularly nursing-sensitive indicators of quality. So I think from the hospital perspective, more than ever before, they're going to be incentivized to work with their nursing staff in a new way to understand how staffing and outcomes are linked in their particular care environments, and what it's going to take in terms of the structure, the processes of care in particular, and that includes resource staff and technology. What is it going to take to deliver care that minimizes these adverse events? You know, we're seeing a decline in pressure ulcers in California, and we are confronting some of the myths that everybody held for so long, that pressure ulcers were part and parcel of patient care experience, that in fact you can provide superb care without pressure ulcers.
Without the development of bed sores.
You know, I've pretty got, exciting.
Yeah, I've got a couple of emails that I want to reference from various people calling in. One nurse who preferred to remain anonymous says that short-staffed nurse shifts create a hostile work environment. She pointed out the increase in executive salaries at Christa St. Vincent, which is one of the critiques of Christa St. Vincent management during the union negotiation. Another caller wanted to know about changes in management at hospitals. Another email. And then there's also an email asking a question for you, Fonda, about the new Christa St. Vincent contract prohibiting employees from doing or saying anything that negatively impacts the hospital. Does that create a scenario where nurses are not allowed to speak out if something inappropriate has occurred?
Well, that's one of the reasons it's important to have a union, because you are able to speak out in a concerted manner and have some protections. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that healthcare workers in New Mexico don't have very many protections when it comes to speaking out or saying negative things about their employers.
What about this hostile work environment point that one of the emails made?
Well, it's true. Basically, what happens is if you follow a shift that has been understaffed all day, there's any number of procedures that they haven't gotten finished. They're upset and angry. You know, you might have a nurse over on the corner crying because she hasn't been able to do, or maybe she's got scolded for not getting done what she is supposed to get done. And so right away, you know, then the people coming on, they're looking at an overwhelming task. Maybe they're short-staffed and having to take extra patients, and they're wondering how they're going to get their job done for the day and provide the care that's needed. And so automatically people start bickering and fussing. And it does create a hostile work environment between the employees as well as with management, because then they get very upset with management because it is ultimately their responsibility to provide the staffing that's needed to deliver the care.
Nancy,
I want to jump in because I think
go ahead, Nancy.
Fonda's raised a really important point, and that's about work satisfaction. I think there are probably some of the strongest literature about the impact of ratios is on RN job satisfaction. And I think that that's a really important consideration, that recruitment and retention of staff is a huge human resource investment by hospitals. So engaging the staff in a solution to their staffing dilemmas that optimizes the staff's engagement and perception that they have the support they need to provide a minimum level of patient care quality that is appropriate to the patient population in the setting, and maybe even approaches patient care excellence. I mean, nobody wants to do just an average job. Everybody wants to do excellent care, the best care possible. And so I think that the staff's job satisfaction is really an important resource to hospitals.
I totally agree. And I think one of the things that hospitals can look at reducing their cost in this time of economic uncertainty for them is to reduce staff turnover. I think there's ample documentation that, and I've read varying instances from as little as $44,000 to as much as a nurse's annual salary. That's the cost, what it costs a hospital to replace a nurse who has burned out and left or gone to greener pastures or something like that. In the case of our own hospital last year, there was in the neighborhood of a turnover of 100 nurses.
Out of a staff of how many, approximately?
Out of a
600-ish.
Right? Out of a staff of about between 400 and 500.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you know, if you looked at the cost of replacing 100 nurses, that's a lot of money.
This is the KUNM call-in show. We're discussing nurse staffing levels and their impact on quality of patient care in New Mexico hospitals. We're joined by Dr. Nancy Donaldson. She's Professor Emeritus of Clinical Nursing at the University of California at San Francisco. In the studio today, we have Fonda Osborne. She is the president of the New Mexico chapter of 1199, the Hospital Workers Union. She just recently retired after working for 3 decades as a nurse. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Support comes from Saggio's, homemade real Italian pizza, calzones, pasta, salads, and desserts, serving Albuquerque and the UNM community since 1968. Saggio's encourages support of public radio KUNM on Cornell Southeast across from UNM and at saggios.com.
KUNM programming is supported by the law firm of Rothstein, Donatelli, Hughes, Dahlstrom, Schoenberg, and Bienvenue, with offices in Santa Fe, Albuquerque, and Phoenix since 1976. For information, rothsteinlaw.com.
Come to nearby Mountain Air on Saturday, August 27th for the annual Sunflower Festival. Find arts and crafts, live entertainment, a sunflower hat contest, silent auction, and lots of street vendors and fun things for kids. Live musical guests include Los Amigos from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and Rye Creek Band from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Call for more info at 505-847-2205 or go online to mountainairsunflowerfestival.org. A message from the tax-exempt Manzano Mountain Art Council.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. We're discussing nurse staffing levels today and the effect on quality of patient care in New Mexico hospitals. If you have a comment or question, you can join us by phone, 277-KUNM. That's 277-5866. You can call toll-free, 877-899-5866. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. I have Fonda Osborne. She is president of the New Mexico chapter of the Hospital Workers Union. She's also a retired nurse. We're also joined by Dr. Nancy Donaldson, professor of clinical nursing at the University of California at San Francisco. I have an email here from a listener who is an ICU nurse here in Albuquerque. He went to school at UNM, and he pointed out that he thinks that new nurses are bombarded with lots of technology and electronic charting, with a minimum of training on top of learning the specifics of patient care. And he's advocating for an additional year in nursing education programs, like an internship or a one-year residency, something like that. And Fonda, what is your take on new nurses who are entering the profession? Are they prepared?
A new nurse is never prepared for all you're going to see. The main thing, don't get me wrong. I think education.
Not to knock new nurses.
Not to knock new nurses or the education system, but a lot of nursing is actually having the hands-on learning, the experience. And that's why it's so important to have a good mentor or preceptor or whatever you want to call them, and important to have a good training program. When I got out of nursing school back in the old days, we had no training program. We were just thrown into the floors, and we lost a lot of good young nurses right off the bat, you know, who... 2 months into it, said, "This is not for me. I'll go wait tables." Today, I think that there is more training, but there's a lot more to learn today than actually when I was a new nurse, and a lot more technology and that type of stuff to know. So we totally support having as long of a preceptor, mentor programs that you can have.
I'd like to remind listeners, I did invite representatives from the University of New Mexico Hospital and Christa St. Vincent Regional Medical Center. These organizations declined to participate in the show this morning. I also invited Loveless and Presbyterian representatives to join us. Presbyterian sent a statement. You heard a bit of that earlier. Their chief nursing executives were unavailable, and we did not receive a statement from Loveless, St. Vincent, or UNMH. I did receive a couple of emails from listeners who were concerned about the fact that hospitals declined to participate in the show this morning, at least a couple of them. I'd like to bring one more person onto the air right now. Carter Bundy is with the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. I know that the recent contract negotiations in Santa Fe have inspired a lot of attention to this issue of nurse staffing levels and the quality of patient care in New Mexico. And I understand that unions may be working with lawmakers to take legislation to upcoming sessions, whether it's, I'm not sure, Carter, you can let me know if it's the special session or the regular session next year, to try to do some legislation on nurse staffing levels. Can you brief us on what we're looking at, Carter?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you very much for covering this subject. I will tell you that there are a lot of studies, regardless of what you feel about the mechanism for getting better staffing, that there are a lot of studies, including one recently by the New England Journal of Medicine, that indicate that there is a direct correlation between staffing levels and patient outcomes. So this is short of washing your hands every shift, it's probably about the most important thing you can do for patient outcomes. It wouldn't be part of this special session coming up, which is redistricting plus whatever else the governor chooses to put on. And the governor would have to put it on her call if it were to show up in the 2012 session. So it may have to wait until 2013 unless we can get some consensus around it and the governor decides that it's something she does want to tackle in the 30-day. So it may be a year and a half from now. But it's pretty important because what our nurses had previously at Christa St. Vincent was a contract that gave the nurses a lot of input into what the staffing levels were. And even though they still failed to meet all the staffing levels, at least they had a significant financial incentive to do so. That effectively is gone now. And we'll see how it works over the next year and a half. We certainly hope that they will maintain adequate staffing levels, but I think history has shown that without significant incentives to do so, sometimes you do end up with more short staff shifts than you probably should. So, and I would love Professor Donaldson to work with us on developing legislation that is, I think she's made a great point that you can't have rigid standards because there are so many variables. But I do think there's probably something, if the hospitals won't do it voluntarily, I think there probably is something to be said for the legislature protecting both nurses and the patients in the state by establishing some minimums.
Super, Carter. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. I'm going to take another caller, which means we're going to lose you. But thanks so much for your time this morning and
thanks
for giving us that update. Let's go to Molly in Albuquerque. Good morning, Molly. Can you make your comment as brief as possible? But what would you like to add? Hello, Molly. All right, let's try Susan in Albuquerque. Good morning, Susan. You're on the air. What would you like to add to the conversation this morning? And if you can keep it kind of brief, we've got a couple other calls to take, too.
Absolutely. My comment is that I'm hearing a lot about short staffing for nurses, and I have many examples of people that I know that would love to be a nurse who have taken all their prerequisites both at UNM and CNM, and the wait lists are incredibly long to get into these programs. One particular friend has a 4.0 average in all of her prerequisite courses, and she's desperate to be a nurse and can't get into the second bachelor program because they're only letting 8 to 10 people in at a time with 50 to 75 applicants. And that's my comment.
Great, Susan. Thanks for your comment. Let's take another call. Nancy in Albuquerque. Good morning, Nancy. Thanks for joining us. If you can keep your comment brief, I've got a few other callers.
Good morning, Elaine.
Yeah, but please join the conversation.
I'm an aged person. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay. I'm an aged person in my 70s. I live in a retirement community. I've been in New Mexico for about 3 years. I am virtually terrified of the idea of having to go into a hospital.
Why are you so
in
afraid?
This community,
why
mainly
so afraid?
Because of horror stories I have heard from people who have been returned here to the community, judged as okay for a bit for going home, and then they die the same night that they've been sent back here. And also the fact that none of these hospitals, except Presbyterian, have chosen to comment on these concerns. Having a terrified population is not a good idea.
Thanks so much for your call, Nancy.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. Nancy Donaldson from UC San Francisco, what do you see nationally with respect to nursing programs and how easy is it for people to become nurses given that there is a demand?
Yeah, I think in a nutshell, the Institute of Medicine in December 2010 published a really landmark report on the future of nursing in America. And in that report, they addressed some of the issues that have been raised in terms of preceptorships and internships for new graduates and the need to really develop systematic master plans for education so that there really is a balance between the demand for trained nurses and the output of our educational institutions, aligning community colleges with state colleges and private universities to really optimize the matriculation between programs to reduce redundant requirements and to expedite the really excellent education the nation's nurses need in order to enter practice.
Thanks, Dr. Donaldson. Fonda, do you have any last comments? We're coming up on the end of the show. Your thoughts looking forward to the legislative initiative that Carter mentioned?
Well, my comment is that as a union, our eyes have been opened to this issue. We had this staffing language at Christa St. Vincent Hospital, and so we felt pretty satisfied with the whole issue. But now we are going to, because we don't have the same language, we are going to be involved in this legislation. If you're interested in helping, please give us a call.
Thanks a lot. Fonda Osborne is the president of the New Mexico chapter of 1199, the Hospital Workers Union. Dr. Nancy Donaldson is professor emeritus of clinical nursing at the University of California at San Francisco. You can check out our podcast online at KUNM.org. You can also email us at callinshow@KUNM.org with comments on this show or suggestions for future shows. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Elaine Baumgartel.